harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a far dark key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought to die to keep. If you don't love and leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. Opening bars of Poncho and Lefty with Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. I'm traveling, as you might imagine, and not always able to perfectly sync and coordinate this show, but this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. I hardly know where to start. There's been so much news. I'll be continuing a lot of this tomorrow. Here's a kind of an upsetting item from Good White Nationalists. Worried about the future of Tucker Carlson on CNN, on Fox News. And it's addressed, dear Patriot, that would be you. Judge Jeanine has been given the boot by Fox News after some offensive Islamophobic comments. Well, why can't you be offensive? Why can't you be critical of maybe Islam or anybody else? Tucker Carlson is still under the microscope as Media Matters, the Soros-funded digital anti-fa against conservative media, cracks down on its crusade against Tucker Carlson. Is Media Matters controlling who you watch? Fox recently hired Donna Brazile, former chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Well, she did. Was. And a loyal Clintonite. It's been reported that Rhino, never Trumper, Paul Ryan, has joined Fox Corporation's board of directors. And the, and Rhino, of course, means Republicans in name only. Heed our warning. Fox News will roll over to the will of corporate media without your intervention. The far left does not care whether reporting is honest or ethical. They care whether the reporting advances their goals, usually by manufacturing outrage. Think about it. Media Matters built a multi-million dollar industry on being offended. They're always offended. People that are always offended do not care about the facts. That's why it's imperative to have the support of fed-up Americans. Media Matters has put Tucker firmly in the crosshairs. Media Matters needs to understand that targeting hosts is a liability, not an asset. You can help put an end to what Tucker has termed the outrage machine. The Stand With Tucker petition has had over 100,000 signees thanks to your support. It's available online, and it's put out by the Constitutional Rights PAC, or Political Action Committee. They note here, without your support, Tucker Carlson Tonight and all right-of-center media could be in jeopardy. Do not let Media Matters censor Fox. Let Fox News Today know today who its consumers are and sign the petition to stand with Tucker. Marxists silence people, but conservatives debate. Don't let Media Matters send free speech to the gulag. Sign the petition to stand with Tucker. Now, if you would like to sign that petition, I really urge you to do it. I mean, this is like bare minimum activity. All you have to do is sign the thing. If you want to do that, email me at paul@paulfromm.com, and I'll be very happy to send that your way. This is, once again, that's my email, paul@paulfromm.com. Talk about censorship. And this is a very serious matter. I'm currently in Stockholm, Sweden, and at a conference called the Skanza Conference. It's a group of patriotic Scandinavian folks from basically Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Finland, and I think with some assists from people. Well, that's really what Scandinavia is, plus Iceland and so on. It attracts all manner of Europeans. I've met people there from Germany, from France, from the Ukraine, and from a lot of folks come in from England, and even a few people like me from North America. In fact, I had dinner last night with a fellow I met in Santa Cruz some years ago, and a person I know from Ottawa. So it attracts real thinkers, and one of the things is so encouraging is the vast majority of these people are on the underside of 40. There are a lot of young people, young Viking-looking men with their beards and so on. It is a youth-oriented group. Led or organized by an unusual fellow from the Faroe Islands, another strapping-looking Nordic fellow with a beard, Frodi Milgaard. And you know, there aren't that many people from the Faroe Islands. Look it up on Google. What's way out there in the North Atlantic? Anyway, he's a superb organizer. And lest anybody think it's just a matter of putting out the call, renting a hotel meeting room, and waiting for the people to show up, it isn't. We live in pre-revolutionary times. We are part of an underground. Yeah, that's right. It's like being a member of a secret society. Not that we want to be secret, but you cannot hold a public meeting in many parts of Europe or North America. announce the time and the place and what will happen? Well, there'll be threats that the Antifa will show up. And maybe they will show up, and then that causes problems. And will the police deal with them? Well, maybe they will, and maybe they won't. Then the hall gets scared. Or another way that this happens, certainly in North America, the hall receives calls from what we call the usual suspects. These would be talking pieces for groups like B'nai B'rith or the ADL or the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and they'll say that the meeting is, well, you know, fill in the blanks. It's for Adolf Hitler, or it's anti-Semitic, or it's the Nazis, or it's the Klan, or, you know, just, as I say, fill in the blanks, or sometimes just a trifle more subtle, there could be violence. I've always been amazed at that. Why would you call up to announce there could be violence if you are the one wanting to instigate the violence? I'll tell you why, because that scares people. Now, the logical response would be, well, thanks for telling me, I will tell the police, because it's up to them to make sure there's no violence, right? They're not supposed to spend their whole lives at the Tim Hortons eating donuts and drinking coffee. Their job is to prevent violence. So if you advise me there might be violence, then I'm sure we'll call the police and, you know, they'll make sure. But that'd be the logical way, but we don't live in logical times. Very often what happens is at this point the management of the hall freaks out and the meeting's canceled, which means another meeting hall has to be secured, and one has to tell one's potential attendees where it is, or and that causes immense trouble, and of course you lose people along the way. Now I don't want to reveal the security measures that the Scanza Forum takes, but it's not quite as simple as they tell you the name of the hotel or the meeting hall and you simply show up. It is a lot more complicated. Okay, as I said, I don't want to reveal security precautions, but be aware that that's what has to be done. We do not live in a free society. Underline that. And the next time some well-meaning dope says, you know, we live in a free country, say, depending on how well you know the person, you're an absolute idiot. Or, you know, you may think so, but, and I actually do support the more gentle approach. Many people simply do not know. And I don't think we score points, nor are we being fair to our fellow whites. If we just want to kind of cop an attitude, I'm smart and you're not. It's often a matter of not being smart or not. It's a matter of maybe just not realizing, or maybe not having had the experience. So while I would be tempted to say you're an idiot, and I have said that to government officials because they're in a different category. It's important to point out, no, we don't live in a free society. As simple as it might seem to hold a political meeting, it's not. If you're a white nationalist, or a revisionist, or in some cases even a Christian, it's not that easy. Now, if you were for gay rights, or if you wanted to hold a fashion show, or whatever, it'd be just a simple matter of booking the hall. So I want you to appreciate the times we live in, and why the people out there organizing and building a movement are such heroes. And, you know, this really is, I'll be getting to my outrage story in a moment, but this really is a heroic action, pulling people together. And these Scanza Forums are on a very high intellectual level. they're not a party. We meet from about 12:30 to about 7:30 at night. There's a brief kind of luncheon break, sort of as a stand-up sort of lunch. And coffee and water and washroom breaks, but it's serious stuff. This is not a big party, but it's a great opportunity to network, and it's a great opportunity to meet real people. I believe the internet's an extremely important tool that we have, but it has its limitations. You know, you can create a Facebook page, and you can, with some degree of some element of smarts, create a profile that may or may not be you. There's a lot of unreality on Facebook and on other internet forums. It really is good when you can to meet people for real and to network. You wouldn't believe some of the good stuff that's come out of the networking that's happened in my attendances at the Scans of Forum, and more recently, in the past, at the London Forum. The networking is incredible. Not just to meet people that you've heard about or know or maybe have met online, but to meet new people and to share. This human contact is vital. And so the enemy, of course, wants to keep us as isolated as possible. Okay, well, there was a real disappointment at this forum, or I should say at the before the forum. The keynote speaker, Jared Taylor, was not able to attend. Now, he attended, I don't know if he attended all of them. he was to be the keynote speaker. Now, on Friday, I received a confidential letter, and I'll read it to you. It was from Jared. It wasn't to be alone, but it was relatively confidential. I've been banned from Europe and will be deported tomorrow. And that's written Friday. Jared was supposed to be here in Stockholm on Saturday. Dear friends in Stockholm and around the world, I'm sorry to have to tell you that I cannot attend the Scans of Forum in Stockholm or the Awakening Conference in Turku, Finland, which was to occur, I believe, next weekend, where I've been invited to give talks. Today, when I landed in Zurich, that'd be from the U.S., for connecting flight to Stockholm, Swiss border authorities told me I have been banned from Europe until 2021. I will spend the night at the airport, and tomorrow I will be deported. The officer at passport control in Zurich Airport had already stamped my passport and waved me through to my Stockholm flight when she called me back. Called after me to come back. She stared at her computer screen and told me I had to wait. She didn't say why. In a few minutes, a policeman arrived and told me there was an order from Poland that barred me from all 26 countries in the Schengen zone. The Schengen zone is an immigration agreement among almost all of the European Union nations. And what it means is, once you are in a Schengen country, you can go to any other Schengen country without a border check. So supposing one flew into, Italy. You could then go to any other Schengen country, which would include Germany, Austria, France, the Netherlands, and so on and so on. So being banned from one bans you from the whole lot. That's why, as incredible as it might sound, Jared is essentially banned from Europe. It gets worse. The police officer said the Poles did not give a reason for the ban.
Yeah, they never do, do they?
But he asked me what I had done. I said I give talks on immigration, and someone in Poland must not have liked them. That makes me a political criminal, I said. The officer took me to an interrogation room and asked me about my travel plans. He went off to another room for a while and came back with a form for me to sign, saying that I understood that I'd be denied entry and was being sent back to the United States. After more waiting, he fingerprinted me and took my photograph.
Now think about the demeaning activity, the demeaning behavior. Jared is a translator. Jared is a gentleman. Jared is a thinker and a publisher. I've been fingerprinted, and you know, there's a certain humiliation to this, and I think it's deliberate. Now he's being deported. What do you have to fingerprint him for?
Anyway,
But, you know, that's just part of the humiliation. Of course, inflicted on him by fellow whites. And that's part of the disgusting aspect of it. He then turned, this is back to Jared's letter, he then turned me over to a man in civilian clothes who took me to a spare dormitory-like accommodation where I'll spend the night. It's not a jail. People pay the equivalent of $40 to spend the night here if they miss a flight. I'm free to walk around the terminal, I can make phone calls and use the internet, and I have a meal voucher that is supposed to last me for the next 12 hours. The officer kept my passport, though, and won't give it back until I board the flight home. Number 18, my room for the night. This is the only part of the letter. Why did Poland ban me? Last September, I gave a few talks to nationalist groups in Warsaw. Why did Poland ban me? So he says he gave a couple of talks to nationalist groups in Poland last year. Poland's supposed to be a free country. In fact, the government is quite patriotic and nationalist, and you would think they would actually welcome somebody like Jared Taylor. His letter continues. I went back to Poland and spoke in Lublin and Warsaw. Attendance was by invitation only, but the Polish police learned about the meetings. They told the organizer that if I broke any Polish hate speech laws, he would be held responsible. You wonder why the Polish authorities would do this. You know, they're doing the enemy's work. And you see how it puts the onus and the pressure on the local people. If the foreigner breaks any laws, you're responsible. They said I was spreading a totalitarian ideology. That means not democratic. That's not what Jared Taylor is all about. In fact, Jared has persistently argued that our political institutions do not give us representative government, that our politicians have failed to enact the will of the people. Just the opposite of totalitarian government. And you wonder, who fed this nonsense to the Polish police? In both cities, in both cities, we switched venues for the talks rather than risk having the police show up. The talks were a success, and in Warsaw, I also gave two television interviews. I left Poland by plane and assumed the matter was closed. Clearly it wasn't. My Polish friends say they will try to find out the reason for the ban and will try to appeal it. But of course, that doesn't help him this weekend. By now, Jared, I'm recording this about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, East Coast time. And it's later, of course, here in Sweden. But so it doesn't help him for this weekend or for next weekend, where he's supposed to have spoken in Turku in Finland. But what are the Poles thinking? I'm not like Lenin and Trotsky meeting in Paris, plotting to uproot the entire West. I want to keep Poland as it is, the proud and eternal homeland of the Polish people. What I hope for Poland is what a large huge majority of Polish people want. And it's not much different from the policies of the present regime. I'm not a danger to Poland. I'm its friend and its devoted admirer. This is what Jared Taylor says. They've got him all wrong. Or is there some other agenda here? 3 years ago, this is the first time this has ever been revealed on Movement Media. Well, okay, not quite the first time. I spoke about it last night. When I did this was the middle of the night for me here in Stockholm, but I did political cesspool show with my good friend in Memphis, Tennessee, James Edwards. He was particularly interested to highlight what's been happening to a man we both know very well. And so he said, you can give an on-the-spot report from Stockholm, and I was glad to do that. And so anyway, this information was shared, I guess, a few hours ago. I knew it, I've known it for a number of months, but I've not shared it publicly. Well, now it can be. And Jared reveals it now. 3 years ago, I got a letter from Theresa May when she was still British Home Secretary. She told me that my views are repugnant and that she has decided to keep me out of her country. Britain is the land of my ancestors, my language, my favorite authors, and now I am in exile. It is a bitter blow. I'm going to read that line again because that comes from the heart. He's banned from England. Britain is the land of my ancestors, my language, my favorite authors, and now I am an exile. It was a bitter blow. You've got to understand Jared Taylor. Jared Taylor was born of Presbyterian ministers in Japan. He comes out of a liberal home, a liberal religious bent, and at one time he did consider himself a liberal. And he has maintained a rather sunny view of human beings. No, I'm not suggesting I have a negative view, but Jared was prepared generally to see the good in people. And when he started American Renaissance in 1990, he wanted a classy organization. Jared is the ultimate Southern gentleman. What he wanted to do, and what I think he is succeeding in doing, and maybe that's why they fear him, is to argue. We're going to win by winning people over and discrediting the arguments of the other side. I'm sorry to say that probably is old school. Because it turns out the other side, likely knowing it cannot win an argument, a debate, has decided on the far better approach of, well, we won't talk. In fact, we won't let you talk either. And Jared is the ultimate in sweet reason when he debates, and he's done this very, very effectively when he's been allowed to. He's been a great media spokesman. Jared is the picture of sweet reason. He doesn't degrade his opponent. He doesn't call them names, and so on. He's the ultimate gentleman. And when he started American Renaissance, he wanted to set a certain tone. At these conferences that he's held, originally they were every 2 years, more recently they've been every year, and they too have been heavily attacked. In 1 year, in 2010, he had to change venues 5 times. You know, that's in America. You know, the land of the free and the home of the brave. You think it's a free country? Hee-haw. Anyway. Jared has always insisted that these are business meetings and people are to dress properly. He doesn't say appropriately because that could mean anything. He says men should wear a shirt and tie, jacket at least, or a suit, women in similar conservative dress. Because we're there to do business. This isn't a down-home, come-as-you-all sort of thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is serious business where we would get to hear some of the leading minds of our movement, leading scientific people, like when he's still alive, Professor Philip Rushton, and when he was still alive, of course, people like Sam Francis. Of course, at every conference, my friend, the attorney from Atlanta, Sam Dixon, and so on, and many, many great speakers. And Jared always wanted to set a civilized, business-like tone. This was not a barroom sort of meeting or a brow house, with tankards of beer clinking and singing and so on. Again, nothing wrong with that. But that was the sort of man that Jared. This is the sort of man that Jared is, a real gentleman who wanted to set a high tone. And he is
banned from England, according to Elizabeth May, Theresa May, because his views are repugnant. Which makes, let's flip that around. He wants to be, he's a race realist. He believes in the inequality of the races, the inequality of human achievement, and that we must adapt our policies to consider that. Furthermore, he wants drastic limits on immigration because we're being overwhelmed. And he says, as a people, we have the right to our own homeland. We have a right to remain dominant in the lands we built. That would be the European heartland, of course, and North America, where we, the Europeans, are the founding settler people. It's not unreasonable to say, well, we shouldn't be immigrated out of existence. Anyway, presumably those are repugnant views, which, as I say, flip it around. Well, what is that? What does she believe in? The removal of the English people? The diminishing of the English people? Well, I'm going to tell you something in a moment. I think that's what she believes. Anyway, his views are repugnant, and so he is banned from Britain. I think that means banned for 3 years. I'll bring that up. Bring this up in another way. He was probably given the same reason I was when I was summarily deported from England in October this year, when I landed for a trip to South Africa. I was, after being detained for 7 hours, I was given a notice that informed me that my presence in the United Kingdom was not conducive to civil order. Now, what does that mean? Well, it can mean anything or nothing. Perhaps I would jaywalk and cause some kerfuffle. Perhaps I might spit on the sidewalk like so many of the recent immigrants and make the place messy. I mean, who knows what that means? Oh, that's deliberate. It's deliberately a catch-all that could mean anything or nothing. You could ban the Pope on that basis. You could ban just about anybody. But I believe that's probably the rubric under which he's banned. Now, apparently after 3 years he can appeal, but that's no guarantee. That's just an opportunity to let them have another look at the file. I know why it hurts Jared so much, for the reasons he gave, but also for what it shows about England, and of course particularly Theresa May. Don't forget, Theresa May is a conservative. That's right, a conservative. Now, those are the sort of things you might have expected the lefties of the Labour Party to do, banning, you know, anybody on the right who's, of course, considered a fascist or a Nazi or, you know, the usual stuff. But it wasn't Labour that did this. It was a conservative. In fact, what really hurts about this is what it says about England. England, unlike other countries, some other countries, used to really cherish its eccentrics. England used to be a land of eccentric people. And far from thinking these people were nutters or should be shunned or restrained, the English developed a genial tolerance of that. That they genuinely appreciated differences. That didn't mean they had to agree with everything, but that was one thing. Also, England very much emphasized free speech as a symbol of free speech. There was Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park, where literally anybody, well, except somebody like Lauren Southern, a Canadian videographer, is able to set up a little soapbox or just start talking, and people gather, and then they may listen, and they may laugh, they may walk away. But everybody, the idea of Hyde Park Speaker's Corner is anybody can get up and say their piece. That doesn't compel anybody else to listen or to agree with them, but it does give them the opportunity and right to say their piece. That is no longer the case. And this is under, not the Labour Party, but the Conservatives. There have been a slew of people banned from Britain
for their ideas. Of course, Jared Taylor, myself, Mark Weber, Brittany Pettibone, who is a videographer, Lauren Southern, who's a videographer, Mark Levine, I believe, he's a Jewish right-wing American broadcaster, the talk show host, he's being banned. These are just the politicals who've been banned. None of us has ever committed a criminal offense. We're not coming to the United Kingdom like some gypsies to steal people's money. We're not coming to be drug pushers, to recruit white girls for to be groomed for rape and for the sex trade. We're men and women, and banned, and but not by the left wing labor people, by the so-called conservatives. This is such a betrayal. Much of this has to do with Elizabeth, with Theresa May, and Theresa May is not to be too cute about it, a complete shill for Jewish interests. In the case of Mark Weber, and I know his case quite well, he has some of the paperwork on it. Very soon after his talk, I believe it was in April 2015, I was there at the London Forum. A left-wing tabloid made a big fuss about mostly about Mark Weber's speech. The Board of Jewish Deputies was hopping up and down, demanding that the police do something. And they said, well, there wasn't anything they could do. He hadn't broken the law. One day after that, and I think 4 days after the forum itself, Mark Weber was banned from Britain. But he didn't know that. He didn't know that until 2017 in the summer. So 2 years later, when he was on his way back from Spain, he was going to go through through London for a flight back to the United States. And at that point, he was told by the Spanish authorities that he was not allowed into England. And when he began to pursue that, he found out the date of his banning. And the date was like a day or two after the complaint by the Board of Jewish Deputies. It's like they give the orders and May fulfills them. She is, particularly galling is that conservatives used to support free speech. That was one of the fundamental English values. Other groups might not be so attached to free speech, the totalitarian left and so on, but conservatives were for it. Well, since the substantial takeover of the Conservative Party by Jewish interests, it's clear that they do not, that the Conservative Party does not operate in the interests of free speech. In fact, it doesn't even operate in the interests of white Englishmen. And here's why. And at yesterday's conference, there was an excellent talk given by a videographer. He has his own blog, regular podcast, Mark Hollett. You might see him. He partners with David Duke. Mark Collett explained that in 2016, that's under Theresa May, not the Labour Party, the Conservatives, they brought in 650,000 legal immigrants to Britain, almost all from the Third World, and about 200,000 illegal. So 850,000 legal and illegal immigrants were brought in under Theresa May in 1 year. This is the ethnic cleansing of whites. Cities like London are now predominantly non-white. Cities like Birmingham, Leeds, cities that used to be until the late 1940s, England was almost 99% white. Now, just as we have lost our two major cities in English Canada, Vancouver and Toronto, to the Third World, England has lost the capital city, what used to be the heart of the English world, Well, it isn't English anymore. And this is directly a result of the treason, and there's no other good word for it, the betrayal of her own people by Theresa May and the Conservative Party. And sure, there may be dissidents in the Conservative Party, and good for them, but the wholesale betrayal. And you know, I asked Mark Collick, but I mean, in their own minds, how do they justify this? I mean, there is, of course, a deeper, sinister agenda to replace the white race. But what would you tell the ordinary dummy MP? Why should he support this? Well, here's what Mark Collick believes is the party line. Look, we need cheap labor to just keep our wealth. Where are we going to get it? Well, the English working man doesn't want to work for peanuts. So we're going to bring in large numbers, which keeps unemployment high, which keeps wages low. We'll remain wealthy. Well, for the short time, that may be true. At what cost? At what cost? At the cost of their nation. At the cost of their people. And the repression on free speech, believe me, is not just foreign visitors like Jared Taylor, Mark Weber, myself. The city of Rotheringham in South Yorkshire experienced 10 years where Pakistani men, gangs, would snatch young white girls to groom them for the sex trade. They give them drugs, they give them alcohol, and they basically turn them out. Either just to service them or as little whores. And this was known to social workers. This was known to municipal politicians. This was known to the police. And for 10 years, they did nothing. Think about that. The desecration and the damage. It's believed that well over 1,000 young girls were their victims. And imagine what happened when concerned fathers went to the South Yorkshire police. Did the police take down notes and say, we'll investigate and start an investigation? No. Do you know what they said? If you keep making complaints like this, we'll charge you with hate speech. We'll charge you with hate speech. So the police are handing gloves with a glove with the cultural Marxists to oppress their own people. As Mark Collett said, there has to be a special place in hell for those people. A special place. That is betrayal of the worst sort. So if you open your mouth as a white person complaining that your daughter or your neighbor's daughter is being abused by these Pakistanis, you better watch your mouth or we could charge you with hate speech. That is the oppression of our own people. Conclude with one final story because it comes from Sweden, where I am right now. A 93-year-old Swede was recently sentenced to jail. That's right, to jail, because he made a remark that he didn't feel comfortable anymore in the town he lived in for so long because there were so many Muslims.
Ooh, that's hate speech.
No, that's the man's opinion. It's his feeling. Doesn't he have a right to a feeling? Anyway, the old gent. Off to jail. You tell me we live in the free world? Better not believe it. I'm going to be telling you more about why this is happening in my show tomorrow. Well, this is Paul Fraught, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Got to take a musical break now, and hope you like it. This is by Don Sears, a great country western singer. Don't take your hands off my heart. This is Don Sears.
We made up the room simply by just walking in. The moment you entered, I could have surrendered right then. Your silhouette was the vision in my every dream. heart started racing away. You left me breathless when I saw you headed my way. Holding you now, well, it's all I can do to believe. If this isn't love, baby, don't wake me up from the dream. Just too much for me to ignore. I've never known wanting you, wanting me like this before. When all that's between you and I is the air that we breathe, the passion in you, baby, brings out the woman in me.
Don Sears, Don't Take Your Hands Off My Heart. This is Paul Frum, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me here on White Resistance Radio. This is the lovely Swedish singer Heidi Hauge, Seven Spanish Angels.
But a final and seven Spanish angels took another angel home. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
And Heidi Hage sings very well, both in her native Norwegian and, of course, in English. Here's Miranda Lambert's Storms Never Last. Great song by Miranda. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on White Resistance.
Vattenfall vill att alla ska kunna leva fossilfri. Så vi samarbetar med allt ifrån skidlandslaget till stålindustrin.
Here's another good one. Well, not the one I intended, but we'll go with this. My steps are Jimmy Fortune. Wearier each day. Still I've got a journey on my mind. The lures of this old world have ceased to make me want to stay. And my one regret is leaving you behind. But I'll be
far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. If it proves to be His will that I am first to cross, somehow I've a feeling it will be. When it comes your time to travel, likewise don't feel lost, for I will be the first one that you'll see. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. Through this life, we've labored hard to earn our meager fare. It's brought us trembling hands and failing eyes. So I'll just rest here on this shore and turn my eyes away. Until you come, then we'll see paradise. But I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. And I'll be running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand.
Paul Fromm, you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. Maybe when this